Hey, City Light family, thanks for tuning in to our podcast today. Before we jump in to our normal episode, we want to let you know a special announcement. We will continue to post podcasts throughout the month of May 2022, but beginning the first week of June 2022, we will no longer publish podcasts of Sunday gatherings. Moving forward, we're going to exclusively post those to our YouTube channel. So make sure you search City Light Church Ocala, O-C-A-L-A, and you'll be able to find our services streamed live and held on our YouTube channel for you to view at your convenience. Thank you. God bless. Hey there. Thanks so much for tuning in to the City Light Church podcast. We're so honored you've joined us. We hope that today's podcast brings you hope, encouragement, and most of all, adds value to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. We long to see people grow from where they are closer to where God desires them to be, and it's our hope that this podcast is an essential element in that process for you. So grab a pen, your Bible, and a journal, and let's dive into today's message.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to those of you online. Good to have you with us today. My name is Ken, lead pastor. On behalf of our pastoral team, we're super glad that you guys are all here. Wow, it's a full house. Praise God. We do this a lot. We'll run up to 90% capacity, and then we start thinning out, and then we run back up to 90% capacity. And I vowed that, you know, if it gets up to 100%, I'm going to get some large straps of Velcro and just stick people to the wall. And then once we have enough money, we'll build another auditorium. But until then, amen, we're just going to get on top of each other in this place. Turn the air condition down low and just say, scoot over, brother. Amen. Amen. And in the meantime, if you just want to stroke out that $1 million check, get us breaking ground, praise God. We'll do that too. Amen. I want to thank my team. I want to thank Tammy and her parents and children's parents. They did a yard sale this weekend, and they worked. Man, you know how much work it takes to put on a yard sale? Yeah. It is amazing. Come on, give our kids. It's for kids camp. They were working this weekend and got some stuff left over on the loading dock. Just back your car up. We'll give you something on the way out today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Just going to read a few verses and entitle this message, What Do You Do When You Don't Know What To Do? Amen. I think it was pretty cool because I had the title before I had the message. And that happens a lot of times where the Lord just gives me something and a topic. And then I just find out what is on his heart. As I wait on him and read and pray, and this is a story in the Old Testament. We understand the timeline here is after King David and King Solomon. You have the series of kings, and we're in Jerusalem. And in fact, we have a map. I don't know how well the map turns out. Fairly good. So this is modern day Israel, and this is back in the day when there were marauders in the land. There were bands of people, all kinds of people that were not a nation. So when Israel established this, they became a nation, and some of these people have migrated into this peoples, and many have been pressed out. So you have the Dead Sea of the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan, and the Dead Sea. You always notice this because at the top left of the Dead Sea, you'll find Jerusalem, and that's where they are. So if you see the Dead Sea, just to the left, there's Jerusalem. It sits there, and that's where this is taking place. They actually come down into this steep terrain that leads down into a hole. The Dead Sea is basically down in a hole, and on the other side, you have groups of people, the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, different people that were in this region, and they actually have come out, and they're coming against Jerusalem. Now, this goes back a long, long time. This was way before we had any nation called Jordan or Syria or Lebanon or Iran. You had Persian people that was in that day, but these are the formations back in this day of these nations. Egypt was already formed at this time, but Israel has now been birthed as a nation, and here they come. And on their way out of Egypt, they actually go past some of these people that I'm going to read about. And they want to cut through their land. And they ask, and the folks say, no, you can't cut through our land. You can't get off. You know, they were old, grouchy men. They're like, get off my lawn. You know, it's kind of thing. Really? Go around. Yeah, that's that. Even back then, that's literally what was going on. They said to Egypt, Israel, you said, no, you got to go around. And so they did. And so here we have, we come years later, and there is a king in this land and Jerusalem, and his name is Jehoshaphat. Many of you have heard this, but I want to actually look at first part of what is actually going on in his life and the perspective of what do you do when you don't know what to do? When storms are brewing, when hard times are ahead of you, what do you do? Have you ever gotten to that place where you're trapped. You're just like, I don't know what to do next. Anybody but me? Anybody but me this week? Anybody? Amen. We get into this place, and if you're not paying attention to the world around you, then you probably haven't asked that question lately. What do you do when you don't know what to do? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. They are already in Hazahan Tamar, which is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. Amen. So let's get the perspective. Here's the king. The word's coming that multiple peoples are mounting together and they are coming to attack you. And this is such a statement of truth. I love the Bible because it doesn't hide dirty laundry. Amen. It is real people going through real struggles. It's kind of like us. And verse 3 said, Jehoshaphat was afraid. This was natural fear. This was, I know a lot of times we say, you know, fears of the devil and perfect love casts out fear. And we start quoting scripture. But sometimes it is normal to be afraid of certain things. Amen. We live in Florida. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just felt that, you know, just like the warmth just wrapped me up. We live in Florida, and it is normal to run across alligators every now and then, right? So you'll watch on the news, and occasionally you'll have somebody, especially if you live near any kind of ponds or any kind of low water lines or swamps or what have you, you'll have somebody say, I had an alligator in my front yard the other day. And folks are like, really? I mean, yeah, we live in Florida. You're like, really? That's, my goodness, what'd you do? It's not like, no way. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we live in Florida. It's like, yeah, of course you did. It's like somebody in Alaska saying, yeah, a polar bear came through the village the other day, or a moose. Yeah? So fear is I don't go out my front door, right? There's an alligator out there, right? He's sitting right there. So natural fear is I'm in my house. That's natural. That's normal. That's healthy, amen. That's why you're still living. That's why you're still here, because you have a natural, normal fear. What's not normal is to never come out of your house again. Right, that's paralyzing. That becomes spiritual, and that's what the enemy loves to do with us. He loves to take something that was natural and then use it against us. And Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. So he took something that was very natural, impending doom of fill in the blank, bankruptcy, impending doom of fill in the blank, whatever. What is it that is on the radar of your heart today that's creating fear? Like, I could lose my job this week. Fear. I could lose my security. A natural fear, right? I mean, when you go in the grocery store, sometimes a natural fear comes over me. Am I the only one? I mean, I looked at the price of eggs this week and I went, no way. What has happened? Along with a lot of other things, amen? But it's natural to fear certain things that are changing around our world. There's some there's some terrible situations. I know folks that have some large debt on credit cards, and with interest rates soaring, it is drastically impacting their budget, and there's a natural fear that grips people. Amen? Jehoshaphat prayed. He was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So two things went on here. Two things that followers of Christ need to understand that's very normal for us during times of affliction and fear. Prayer, or seek the Lord, and fast. Now, Pastor Ken, we're good with that pray thing. But when you start talking about fasting, now I just don't know if that's of the Lord. I assure you, it is of the Lord. What does fasting mean? It means no eating. Yeah, I like to bring things down to where we live. Amen. It means that you skip a meal or meals for a day or days, depending on how hungry you are. Well, I'm real hungry. That means I don't skip a lot. No, that's not what I meant. How hungry are you for an encounter with God? That's what fasting does. See, what fasting does is it presses down the flesh, the voice of the flesh, and it lifts up the ear of the Spirit, so the Spirit begins to hear what the Lord is saying so clearly, and you start having encounters with Jesus and dreams and visions, and all of a sudden just songs just start connecting dots, and your daily devotion is a radical encounter with God. And it's just like, I've been on fast before when I did not want to come off the fast because I was encountering so much of the presence of God, and I was having so much of an encounter of the Lord in the Scriptures, and I was getting answers, and I was finding deliverance, and I was finding strength for situations all through fasting. Why? Because my spirit man was brought up and my flesh was brought down. So in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you will see that fasting is part of those who want to press the flesh down and listen, lift the spirit to hear what the Father is saying. Jesus said, when I'm gone away, my disciples will fast and pray. But how will they fast while the bridegroom is with them? So the disciples actually got in some trouble because they weren't fasting like the Pharisees or the religious leaders of the day who had begun to fast by a religious duty. I will tell you, if you feel a fast by religious duty, in fact, we did this several years. The first part of the year, we were fasting. We would go on this 21-day prayer and fasting. And it'll happen. I will feel like this has become a duty. This has become a duty to the church, and people that are doing this are doing it out of religion or duty, works based, and I'll stop it. And then we'll go to a season of fasting where I'll call a fast and say, hey, church, this week I want you to push a meal away. I want you to push a meal for a day. I want you to fast a day, sun up to sundown, 24 hours, however you choose to do it. I'm calling the church to a fast. Let's fast and let's exalt our spirits, lift our spirits to hear what the Lord is saying. There are threats on the horizon. How do we handle these? Jehoshaphat is actually standing before this threat, and he seeks the Lord, and he declares a fast. And he proclaimed the fast to all of Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. We're in a day where, whether you realize it or not, there is a reason to be concerned with the world that we live in, the state that we live in, the nation we live in. We live in a day where Isaiah said, woe unto the one who calls evil good and good evil. We literally are seeing that take place. We literally are seeing the government try to educate our children on sexuality. No longer is this an issue in the home. I'm talking about the morals, the ethics of how you as a family govern your house, what you teach your children. They are directly opposing viewpoints this year, today, right now. We live in that day where literally the leaders of the teachers' union are saying, you don't have a right as parents, and I'm pointing my finger at you because I want you to feel the threat. You don't have a right to teach your children. That's our job. Brothers and sisters, that's a dangerous place to be as a nation. when a playground has an agenda to sexually pervert your children. That playground is Walt Disney World. Let me stop mixing messages. When there is a bill to teach your children about sexuality before they even realize what sexuality is about. Something's wrong. And what has happened is, and I got to be careful, because I'll go all rogue American on you, and I'll be up here like flying the flag and pounding my chest. And but on the same hand, as a pastor, I realize that the scriptures actually give us a mandate to vote for godly leaders. And we cannot, I'm shouting, don't want to shout. Don't want to yell at you, just want to talk to you this morning. The scriptures actually tell us we have a responsibility to pray for. And since we are electing a leader, to then put leaders in place who reflect godly principles, godly values. We do. We have a mandate. I am so appreciative to the Lord for godly leaders in our county. Yes. Now listen, you will not always agree with local government leaders. You won't always agree with Sheriff Woods. You won't always agree with the city council. You won't always agree with the county commissioners as individuals or a group. You won't. You won't always agree with me theologically as a pastor. That's normal. I can get three pastors from the same denomination and throw one scripture down, and I can turn them against each other real quick. Why? Because we all have viewpoints. We all see things a little different. Who's right? They all are. Who's wrong? They all are. The truth is, we in America, we are given this mandate to choose our leaders. Our forefathers gave us this. But the scriptures actually lay that on us too, because we choose them, and by not choosing, you choose. So I'm one of these guys that says the least you could do is pray and fast for godly leaders, even if you don't actually check a box. The most you can do is actively get involved and find out how to pray for our leaders. We have a county commissioner that's here this morning leading prayer this Thursday at the Veterans Park for our nation. These are godly leaders that God has given us. I know several commissioners who are in churches all over our county this morning. Thank the Lord for godly leaders. We have a lot of seats coming up on the school board for election this year. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not saying that they're ungodly or godly. I'm saying we have a responsibility to pray and fast that God give us godly leaders. Why? Because there are real threats on the horizon. Listen, I went on the internet and looked up the national debt. On April 28th, $30,402,580,553.99. Well, it's gone down a little bit because I sent in my tax payment. So surely they've saved some money now, at least a few thousand dollars. And so I looked this morning and no, they hadn't saved any. They're spending more. It had gone up. We live in a day when Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles announced a landmark program to partner with high schools and build well-being centers across LA County. We need to pray. We need to pray for a governor who will stand up against such foolishness as that, because they're not after the well-being of your teenagers. We need to pray for a school board who will strike down and vote against woke curriculum that teaches people they are racist before they even realize what racism is. Yes. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying Jehoshaphat had enemies that were approaching him to destroy their livelihood and their well-being, and so do we. You have an adversary that is after your marriage to tear it apart. Even if I didn't have any of these things to pray for. And let me just tell you where we stand on this. Watch this. If these people, any of these people came to my house and said, "Hey, Ken, we understand you don't like what we stand for and da 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 da, but we're hungry and we'd like to talk to you. Can we talk? And would you give us something to eat?" The mandate upon my life as a believer means I've got to feed them. I do. So we don't have a choice to fight our battles in America with guns. We have to fight in the spirit. We have, listen to the battles. Let's just go through them real quick. A man who needs a miracle healing after being hit by a truck. These are prayers we got this past week. A woman who received bad news from her doctor. Healing for a man who's suffering kidney disease. A quick recovery and total healing for a man after surgery. Healing for a boy with heart issues. Emotional health for a man who needs strength, courage, and joy. The chains that are binding a mother and son to be broken. A family of faith to raise up a young boy. An unspoken prayer request for a couple. A woman who just had bypass surgery. A man with a form of blood cancer. A woman with an autoimmune disease. A woman who to have safe and successful pregnancy. A woman with a blood disease. Peace and comfort for families that have lost loved ones. Recently, there have been many requests for prayers for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. A woman who is struggling with her need for pain medication. A woman who is battling breast cancer. A woman with cancer. A man battling drug addiction. A woman with eating disorders. A woman who has bronchitis for over 3 weeks. A woman who is having surgery for cancerous lymph nodes. Pray for the protection of a man who is in the Ukraine fighting for the people there. It's an American man, part of a family member of this church. Pray for provisions to be released so that he and his men would have supplies that they need. Those are some of the needs represented. Brothers and sisters, there are real enemies and real storms before us. How do we respond? Jehoshaphat actually said this, "For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us." Watch this. "And we do not know what to do." The Lord spoke to me this week, "What do you do when you don't know what to do?" And took me to this scripture. And I read verse 12. I knew the Lord was speaking to us. Jehoshaphat said, "We do not know what to do." What did they do? Verse 15 said, "Listen carefully, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's." That does not give us the right to head to Gainesville with a gallon of milk and stop at Krispy Kreme's and just say, "You know what? It's all going to be okay." I mean, we could do that, but that's not what we're supposed to do, right? We're not supposed to just kick our feet up and like take our hands off of it. What we're supposed to do is engage the battle, knowing that God is for us. The enemy cannot. He cannot stop us. He cannot. What did Jehoshaphat do? He prayed and he fasted. What else do we see that when people are in a midst of a storm and a situation where they don't know what to do, what else do we see that they did? We see several traits that go through the scriptures, and I find it fascinating that one of the things you see people do is repent. That's a novel thing for believers to do, right? Repent. Think about it. This isn't something you do one time in a church, sign a card, little dabble, do you? You're in. You're part of the club. Repentance is a lifestyle. It is like every day you're walking with the Lord, he shows you another glimmer of who he is, and you go, "Oh, I repent." Why? Because I'm not like that, and I want to be like that. And he says, "Well, it's okay. Come on. Come on, follow me." And so he begins to fuse that quality into your life. And the next time you know, you glance up at him, and you go, "Oh, I see something else like him. That's not like me." He says, "That's all right. Come on. You repent." It's just the lifestyle believer. We just constantly are repenting. It means to rethink. It means to find another glow, another glimpse of the beautiful one, and then long to be like that. So much so that everything that's not like him just gets burned out of my life. They gave and they praised. Lastly, they stood. Sometimes you just see them standing. I like this one where they praised, because Jehoshaphat actually sends the worshipers out in front of the army. There's a principle here, and that is that our prayer and our praise should always take us into a battle. If you go into a battle with your strength, you might win, but you're going to be in a mess on the way out. If you go in with the Lord, prayerfully considering the position of the Lord and praising Him, He will fill your mouth and He will posture your hand for war. It's the battle formula. It's what you do when you don't know what to do. You seek the face of the Lord, you fast, and then you begin to praise. Jehoshaphat literally put the worshipers in front. That's a comforting feeling, ladies. Gentlemen. Like if we were facing the enemy this morning, I would go back and get behind Isaac. And I would say, you guys go get them. We're in the South. I'd say, y'all get them. That's what we do. We put our praise out in front and we say, you just deal with the praise. Amen. Right? It's like every now and then, like you ladies, you'll go, that's what you do to the enemy. That's what you do to the enemy when you start praising. He's running his mouth and you just go like, talk to the praise. I'm trying to close. Listen, watch this. Revelation 12 says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Lord and the authority of Christ has come now. Because the accuser of the brethren and sister who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. Now watch this. There's a position that Satan with a little S, that Satan actually has. And it is to accuse you before the Father. It is to create a storm around you and then watch you get down in discouragement, doubt, and disbelief. And then he runs up and he stands before God and he says, do you see them? Do you see them? Did you see how they acted today? And he just runs his mouth. And watch this. This is very interesting. In Psalm 8 and 2, from the mouth of my children, another version says infants and babes, you have established a stronghold on account of your adversaries in order to silence the avenger and the enemy. Oh, you didn't get it. Okay, hang on. The Lord is tired of hearing the yapping of the enemy about you. So why don't you give the Lord a break and start praising and shut the mouth of the adversary? Because the moment you start praising, here's what the Father says. Hang on just a minute. I hear my daughter singing again this morning. I hear her praising me this morning for the goodness that I've been in. Hey, just shut your mouth for just one moment. I hear my sons praising me this morning. I hear them singing to me this morning. I hear them calling out to me this morning saying that I'm a good God and a good Father. When you praise and when you exalt Him, it shuts the mouth of the adversary. It shuts it. Oh. 13 of you, I think, got it. Come on and stand with me. What do you do when you don't know what to do? A lot of what we've been doing this morning, we set our heart to seek the Lord. We fast. You thought I forgot about it. This week, one meal, one day, I'm calling you, fast. What does that mean? It means don't eat. Push a meal back. But I'm in high school. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Fast. Call out to the Lord. I'm so serious about this fast that my dog's not going to eat one day. I'm gonna make him fast. If I'm fasting, he's fasting. Think I'm kidding. We're buddies. We do these things together. Amen. Father, I pray you radically shake us this week. There's a battle before us. And we can't go in this battle with hatred in our heart and anger in our hearts. We can't go against people in this world whose eyes have been blinded. And they see things from an unbiblical viewpoint with nastiness. Our hearts must be full of compassion and tender. Mercies must fill our mouths. And we can't do that in the natural, Lord. We need you. So, Lord, we fast this week. We pray this week that you would encounter us. And we give you praise, not because we're perfect, not because we've done everything right, but because you are God. And beside you, there's no other. Lord, we exalt you this week. In times where we don't know what to do, we just begin to lift up a voice of praise. We begin to lift up our prayer and we begin to say, you are God. You're a merciful God. You're a good God. You're a saving God, a delivering God. And we call on you. Lord, behold the threatening of the enemy. Shut his mouth and grant unto us power and strength. Lord, fill us this week with your spirit.
Amen. Well, we hope that this message has brought you hope and encouragement, and it was just what you needed for today. If you're joining us today and we can partner with you in prayer in any way, it would be our honor. Please reach out to us by visiting our website, mycitylight.org. And lastly, if the Holy Spirit has laid it on your heart to give today, you can do that by visiting mycitylight.org and go to the Giving tab, or text any amount to 84321. Be blessed.